It's Testimony Sunday, which just means that we're all going to testify, or a few people are going to testify of the goodness of God. Not all of you, that'll be way too many. But if you do have testimonies, please share them with people around you, because that's it builds my faith so much to hear what God's doing in your life. Let me just remind you about the three, the ABCs of testimonies. A, about yourself. It's your own testimony. It's not somebody else's testimony. We want to hear from you about your testimony. B, be brief. Be as succinct as you can, because we want to fit as many in as we can. And C, Christ-centered. Let's give the glory to God, which I know you all love to do. So Gabrielle's going to kick us off. Roman too. Both. Oh, it's a team. Awesome. Come on up. If you do have a testimony, please come and sit in the front row, and then I'll know that you have something that you want to share. But we'll start you off with you guys.
Thanks. Hi. I am just a little shy right now, but it will flow. So this Sunday, it's been like 2 years, officially 2 years, that Homa and I, we came here. And our start before, when we decided to come to Canada, and God showed us all the time, then Vancouver was the place, Redemption Church was the place. And when we arrived here, God provided for us. When Homa lost his job, he gave me a job. When I was unhappy with my job, God gave me a job in my area, like as a research assistant. So we have like many ups and downs, but God was there taking care of us. But last year we started to have like a good moment in our life. Homa and I, we are with jobs, we are with friends, we are feeling happy here in Canada, but immigration say, mm-mm. Yeah, so Homa, I'm gonna explain this part.
Hi everyone, so my name is Roman. I'm also a treasurer at church, but among other things. But yeah, so the testimony is more about something that happened like 2 weeks ago. So basically, yeah, like Gabby said, like we were, it's been 2 years since last Friday, exactly. And we were on a work permit that was for 2 years. So the problem with immigration is having to deal with like the changes and renovations and application and all of that. And so, and also the situation with being Gabby as the dependent and me being the principal applicant. So basically I was, when we arrived here, I had a job at a startup. And so everything was fine, and it was pretty easy. Then I lost my job, and Gabby got a job at almost the same time, which was, I guess, God providing at the time. After that, I spent some, like, 7 months, I guess, being, like, unemployed and looking for jobs. And I guess it was a moment of waiting and growing and being involved at the church, which was nice also. But after that, I just started to take a job as a cleaner, so residential cleaning, anything like that, which was a humbling experience for me. I guess it was work from God inside of my life. But 2 weeks ago, I got laid off, surprisingly, so I didn't expect it. And at the time, I was thinking about, how are we supposed to do for immigration? Because I feel like God was giving me this words that we were to stay here and that like he would provide and that we would prosper here and everything. But with the deadline looming and like getting shorter and shorter, we would kind of, even believing it starts to feel like it's getting difficult. You know, it's like, you know, something's happening. You don't know how, when or anything. And you're starting to think like, oh God, now is the time, right? It's like, if it's supposed to happen right now, right, I guess. Otherwise you're like, hmm. But it has always been like a last minute thing for Gabby and me. So I guess we were anxious, but also like hopeful in a way. maybe something that sounds like being naive or something, but I don't know. So anyway, so 2 weeks ago I was laid off, which complicated our plans for immigration. The main idea was waiting for the PR draw, which did not happen until now. So God provided a different way. So basically what happened is I lost my job, talked to Gabby, and we were like getting desperate, I guess. Then, funnily enough, I remembered Laura sharing her testimony, and she was like, oh, it was late. I needed prayer, so I asked Carolee. So I was like, you know what, I do the same. But I didn't call her, though. I just texted her, and then she replied in like 10 minutes. But yeah, so she just prayed for us and then sent message in the live group and everything. So got everybody involved, friends or, I don't know, parents or something.
Actually, Caroline just heard Homa, and she sent a message on Life Group like, everybody need to pray for Gabrielle and Homa. They need a miracle. And of course, at that moment, it was only a miracle for Homa and I stay here in Vancouver, because without jobs, like, it's impossible living in this place. And also, we already have like our savings for the PR, so we cannot spend this here. So Homa sent a message to Caroline, and Caroline sent on our life group. Thank life group, we love you. And ask everybody to pray, and everybody was sent message to us like, oh, we are praying for you, like God will give you this miracle, and the miracle happened.
Yeah, so basically, the next day, Carolee had a meeting for the nomination committee, and she was there with Pastor Daniel and Enoch, and I guess that's it. Oh, some more. Okay, sorry. So yeah, so they just prayed for us and everything, and yeah, and that's it. And then, funny enough, Enoch was working at a place that was looking for people, and so he thought about me, thanks to Carolee praying and everything, and he asked me to come over there the next day. Like, yeah, so I went there, and I've been offered a job like the following day, so like less than 24 hours. And yeah, beside that, it's like, yeah, so now we have applied for a new work permit for me, also allowing Gabby to extend a work permit. So it's basically like solving all of our problems at the same time. Yeah. Because even if he had the draw, like, I would still not have a job, and Gabby probably would not be able to work, so it would be the same thing over and over again. So yeah, so that's it. And it's, yeah, I guess it's an encouragement to people to look for the community when they need, like for prayer and everything. And also for people that are maybe stuck in a period of waiting. So it's like, I've been in both places, I guess, like being in waiting and then God's opening doors at the right time. So I guess it's just like trusting that God's timing is right. And yeah, and just reach out to people, go to a life group, join a life group, and get involved at church, and yeah, I guess that's the main thing.
And be friend of Caroline.
Yeah. And ask Caroline if you need prayer.
Hey, would you be willing to say a short prayer for people who are in the same position, who need a job?
Sure.
Just one second. So if you need a job right now, I encourage you to just put out your hands in front of you. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but Roman's going to pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you are doing in this church, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And yeah, we just pray that you would reach out to those people that are looking for a job or are facing difficulties in their life or their families or their relationship or any other thing, Lord. I just pray that you would yeah, give them words of wisdom, give them revelation of your plans for them, Lord. We know that sometimes it's difficult to trust you, Lord, so we just pray that you would grow their faith and that you would open the right opportunities for them, and that they would trust in your timing and just just rest and learn to trust you and get a good rest in knowing that you are providing and that you are taking care of them. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. Yay.
This is kind of ironic that I'm here because I got up this morning. I said, oh, God, let those that are supposed to testify, testify. And I wasn't thinking about a testimony. But I live about 8 blocks from the church. And I don't know where my time goes on Sunday morning, but I have to have my time with God before I leave for church. And suddenly I realized I've got about maybe 25 minutes. I hadn't combed my hair, and believe me, it was morning hair. Hadn't done my face, you know, was, I had clothes on, but that was about it. And so I'm rushing to get ready, and I head out the door, and I feel fine, like from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I'm fine. By block 3, I had this excruciating pain come up my right leg. So I pray for other people, but I bent over and I said, in Jesus' name, pain be gone. And it was gone until I got to the end of the block, and it was back just as bad as ever. So I did the same thing for the next block, and it was gone. And then the next block, so I'm coming up to block 6, the pain was back, and it was like the worst it had been. And so I said, Jesus, I need you to pray with me. In Jesus' name, pain be gone. And it left, and I got to church with no more pain. I still don't have any pain. So when I went to Brazil a couple of years ago with Randy Clark, they said, if you notice a difference after the first prayer, but it's not all gone, you know, pray again. And we were encouraged to pray again. And I saw that happen with other people, but I've never tried it on me. But it still works. God's the same.
Do you want to pray for people with pain?
Okay.
Anyone in pain? She's praying.
So, Father, you're no respecter of persons, Lord. And sometimes we just have to call out to you because we're desperate. And I was desperate this morning. And Lord, so for those people in the church this morning that are sitting here in pain, and maybe it's pain you've had for a very long time, and you think, I just have to live with it. God, I ask that you would reach out your healing hand in Jesus' name and touch them and let them know that you see them and that you are the healer, and remove the pain from their body, Lord, so that they have a testimony, Lord, of your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Carly. Amen. Bonnie.
Good morning. Well, I have a testimony of God's protection and goodness, even in times when things go down and things happen. So I took a trailer, new to me trailer, on my second trip to music camp, which was in the shoe shop. So I had to tow this 16 and a half foot trailer, again, just my second trip with the trailer over, you know, the Coca-Cola, which, as you know, can be a bit nerve-wracking, and it's pretty high mountainous area, and steep sections. Anyways, all was going well, and I was getting very close to my destination, and suddenly my radiator blew, and I lost power suddenly. It was on a single-lane highway, and I'm like, okay, get off the road now. Thank God there was just a shoulder that was the only shoulder on that little stretch of road, but the rigs were going by at pretty high speed. I got off the road in just enough time and safely was able to hang out until the tow truck driver came. Anyways, things were pretty dicey at that moment, but thank God, God protected me in the time of trouble, and I was able to get off the road quickly. But if it had been earlier on the Coca-Cola, I could have been killed, really. Like, if there was a semi behind me or in front of me, I would have been done. But anyway, People came to help. I had friends get all my stuff to music camp. My car got towed to a service center not far from there. But one of the gems in all this is I was within 15 kilometers of my destination. So thank God it didn't happen, 500 kilometers away in the mountainous area of the Coquihalla. And I got to music camp. I got to enjoy the whole week while my car got fixed. And a wonderful lady from camp came and got my trailer off the side of the road and brought it to camp. So everything turned out fine, and I'm still in one piece. I didn't make it to the honky-tonk dinner. But that's okay. And then continuing from there, a few things happened. The top of the trailer roof got light fixed, or I don't know what you call it, sunroof got ripped a little bit from an overhanging tree. But all in all, that to say that God protected me through it all. I arrived safely back to town, thank God, because there was a few more, possibilities that came up. But I'm back safe and sound. So the verse that I would like to highlight this morning is from Psalms 91. And it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. So if you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands." So thanks be to God, I'm back safe and sound. Oh yeah, there was one other thing. So because of the solar, the sunroof got ripped off a little bit by a tree branch. When I arrived back where I parked my trailer, this lovely family happened to have a very tall ladder. So I was able to get up and cover the part that was exposed with, what do you call it? What kind of tape is that, Duct tape and garbage bag. So thanks be to God.
Thanks, Bunny. Thank you. Luann. Wait a second. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Luann Schmidt. I've been away for a little while recovering from a major surgery. And I just want to start with a beautiful image, which is what I experienced when I walked in the church this morning. Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth," which is what you did. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations."
Amen.
Amen. So my testimony today is in March. I had a major surgery. It was 12 and a half hours. I had three surgeons. My head surgeon was a lovely gentleman from Dublin. So I have to use a lovely accent for a minute. And he said to me, "Luann, do you have any questions?" And I said, "Well, actually I do. So can we just talk about those 13 things that could go very wrong?" And he said, "Well, actually, Luann, it's more like 22 things that could go very wrong. But there's only two of us in all of British Columbia that do this, and I'm your man." and I've got an 85% success rate. So you're going to be okay. So how did God bless me? I came out of surgery. My son was sitting there. The first person I saw was my firstborn son, Octavian, and he was there. Then they wheeled me into, surprise, a private room. And I remember I looked over at the nurse and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't pay for this. Why am I in a, where's my roomie? And she said, oh, no. When you've had major spinal surgery, you have to be in this recovery room. You get this room all to yourself. God blessed me with a nurse who was a God-fearing woman. She was a beautiful lady who her cross was always showing every morning, and she even prayed with me. We talked about how when she'd leave the hospital every day, she would sing hymns as she drove home to Coquitlam. God blessed me. I used to lay in bed in the quiet times and just sing lines from hymns, praising God, because they kept telling me it was a successful surgery. It was very high risk, and it was very successful. The thing I wanted to touch on was I went into the hospital on the 13th. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. While I was in the hospital, we expected potentially that my mother was going to pass away at some point. My mother was 94, and on the morning of the 22nd of March, I was laying in bed in recovery, and I woke up at an unusual time. Usually you wake up every 4 hours because they give you a lot of medication. And suddenly I woke up in the middle of that time frame, and I was completely alert, and I thought, something's happening, what's happening? And all of a sudden my hands sort of just gently were raising from the bed, both my hands, and I just said, Lord Jesus, take her now to be with you. And then my hands just went back down on the bed, and I felt very calm. And then I got a text from my sister that my mom had died 3 hours later. Think about three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I have just returned from Saskatchewan for a family reunion, and what we did was we tagged on at the end of a family reunion. It was 120 people. I'm part of 242 people that have descended from a couple, my grandparents. And we had a family reunion, and then we had my mother's celebration of life at the very end, because everyone had come to this beautiful family reunion. And I chose, my mother loved to garden, as I do, and I had the honor of creating her service. I had the honor of giving her eulogy. I felt God's blessing when I introduced my son, who is now part of Athletes in Action at UBC, serving the Lord, and he read Psalm 100. So I want to leave you quickly with Psalm 100. Again, entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Don't you love the way the Holy Spirit works? That was my call to worship this morning. I read that this morning as a call to worship. And then you've read it twice now, and I'm like, God's speaking, right? So keep, like, listen. Keep listening. Anyone else? Anyone else have a testimony this morning? Arnold? Yes. Oh, Mary Jane? Yes. Excellent. What? Yeah. All good.
I was going to let Mary Jane go first, but I wasn't sure I was going to share this, but I'm like, yeah, who needs to hear my story again? Anyway, I just want to thank God for... okay, so the focus event is that I got a job recently, and I started, but do feel a little bit of guilt looking down on this job, if I'm being honest. So I was doing my postdoc with UBC, and a friend sent me a link to a job ad, and I applied and got invited to interview. So I attended the interview, it went well, but at the interview, I kind of sensed that they would make me an offer. So all of that together, and I'm like, looking down on this job in a sense, but I've just felt the Lord telling me that where is the gratitude for this role? Yes, I did my postdoc in UBC, and usually the trajectory would be you do a postdoc for a few years, hopefully you get into a faculty position, create your own research program, and then grow from there. But I didn't really want to do that. Like, I didn't want to do a full-on research career where, like, you know, grant, tenure type thing. I wanted to do something like a little bit of in between, teaching, a bit of teaching, a bit of research, but without necessarily the pressure of leading a full-on research program, which I have seen can be a lot of pressure. You swim or you sink, depending on the grants that you're able to pull in. So I didn't think I wanted to do that. And then God gave me a job that's exactly that. And here I was like, like, I don't know, now this happened. I don't know if I really want this. So, but I just wanted to thank God for how he has provided all my life, basically. And many times I look back and none of this should have happened. Like, some of you already know my story, read my mom's book. To be honest, even going to high school didn't seem like it would happen. But God has just been faithful in providing at every season. Many times I went to some of the best schools in the world and didn't have to pay for it. Like, for my master's degree, I got two scholarships and I had to pick one. And then when I decided I wanted to do a PhD and also for that to be a pathway for my family to come to Canada, I did get a few offers before, but those were not funded. So I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm gonna pay my way through a PhD. So I waited. And when UBC came along, it didn't look like the funding was guaranteed to the end, but we took a leap of faith and God again provided. Where COVID was a problem for many people, for me, it was actually a blessing in a way, because my PhD ended up getting funded through a COVID grant. And then even when family was coming here, like, I was the numbers didn't add up for having a family of my size living in Vancouver, but I did get a job that I was doing during my PhD and I could do in my own time, and the pay was better than what other PhD students were earning. And so I just see God providing for every season. And so I just wanted to, in front of the congregation, just be humble that I haven't done well in acknowledging God for this new job. Like, I did look down on that role. It's not a high-flying university, it's not UBC, but it is a tenure-track position, a tenure-track faculty position. And I just wanted to just take a moment to thank God for his provision. None of this is a result of anything. Those of you who know me know that I'm sort of dumb in many ways, but yeah, so yeah, you can ask Ezekiel if you don't know. Yeah, so I just want to thank God for his faithfulness and provision and for this role and the opportunity that it presents. Yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll be in it for 2 years, maybe I'll be in it for my entire career, but it's not really about me that much. It's really about God's faithfulness and he being able to provide at every season. So that I just wanted to share that and just bring glory to his name. Praise God.
Thank you. Yeah. And we as in Arnold's one of our elders, and we as the elder team were thrilled when he got his job because it meant he was staying for at least a little longer, so that was good news to us. Mary Jane.
Erickson Winwin. Ian Shwagdas Wichna in IHA, Ian Shwagdas Koinjin Kuxcham Tik Yamit in Skyway Wayne Campbell. So I just said, my heart is happy to speak to you today and to see you and to say thank you for all your prayers for my husband Wayne. I just left his side this morning. He's doing good. His breakfast was all set out on a tray, but he was more interested in me renewing his television contract so he could watch the game at 10. So anyway, I thought he must be definitely improving. So anyway, today is the 13th day that he's been in the hospital. The first surgery he had was last Tuesday. And every day for several days after I saw him, when I went, he was just totally sedated. And it looked like there's no sign of life. And so, of course, Carol Lee got on the prayer chain and everyone was praying. So thank you so much, because it's terrifying to see someone you love just so silent, and it doesn't look hopeful. But I spoke every scripture I could to him, and I said, you're going to live and not die. And I just declared life and hope and trust and Godspeed. And every single day, my mouth was just dry from reciting every prayer and every poem and every possible good, hopeful reminder that he is God's person and he will live for God. When he rises up, he will be on fire for Jesus. Amen. Because that's what I would like to see in a husband, someone on fire for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So again, thank you so much for all the prayers. They work. Thanks, Mary Jane.
I am grateful to God for that testimony, and I'm always a little, I don't know, not everybody gets the happy ending after prayers like that. So we are grateful to God for when he heals, and we are grateful to God for when he heals in the end, when we die and we are in heaven with him, we live forever. So gotta kind of, it's that tension between the now and the not yet. And so far, I'm so grateful that Wayne is doing well, and he's been healed, and we pray for healing, and we believe God can heal, but we also trust that he knows best, better than us, and he has the bigger picture, and his ways aren't our ways, and all those scriptures. So I am always aware of that tension there. We have time if there's like one more testimony. Oh, sure, come on up, and then we'll continue.
Thank you. Good morning, all. Good morning. Okay, I feel a bit of being ungrateful if I'm in the midst of God's people and it's an opportunity to testify, right? It'll be an ungrateful, especially if you feel God has done something quite unusual. So, a little bit before I came to Canada late last year, I was quite used to traveling, flying, and it was quite a kind of hobby, so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because I found some quiet time when you have to travel, sit at the airport lobby so you can read. You have some good time to read and reflect. And so, when I came to Canada, I didn't expect I'd have to travel almost every quarter. But for some personal reasons, I have to travel every quarter, and that was quite a lot of time I have at hand. So I always carry tons of book with me I want to read. And the last time in end of June, I had to travel and I had my bag, had my books in my backpack and I was waiting to read. But I didn't know that, that journey was going to be something different from the usual. So I got to Vancouver International Airport, right? And I was all feeling okay. And I hopped into the flight when it was time to check in and everything was fine. Mid-air, I then started feeling sick. I promise you don't want to be sick. Because there's just literally nothing you can do. So 1 hour becomes like 24 hours in an instant because it's just so discomforting. Was so bad, at some point I had to call the air hostess and say, please, can I get drug now to take? And yeah, they actually just got me. All they could do was get me a pain relief. But that was not it at all. I tried to read, it didn't work. And then it became really serious. On the second leg of my flight, it became really serious. And then I became scared when the air hostess now said, someone in the flight, not me, someone else, they had a medical emergency. And I was now thinking to myself, you will be the next person. Because at this point, I'd been totally sick throughout the flight. It was so bad. When I landed at my home country, which is where I was going to, I went straight from the airport to the hospital. That was how bad it is. I mean, my friend that came to pick me up, I told him, I can't go home. I need to go straight to the hospital. And I spent another 6 hours in the hospital. But why am I grateful to God? Anything could have happened. It was really torturous. Honestly, the whole length of that flight was more than a whole year in my, in my contraption. It was that bad. And, after that flight, I was scared of flying again. I was scared of flying again. But I thank God that my flight back was totally different because I was scared. I was so scared to fly again. But I thank God. I'm so grateful to God that it was grace, it was his mercy, it was his help. I actually thought this was it. There's no way you are going to, be sick for this length of time. No real medication, no doctor to talk to, and you're going to get by it. But I thank God that God saw me through it, and I'm most grateful to him. Thank you, church.
All right, I'm just going to invite Ezekiel and the band up. We're going to continue with our worship. I'm just going to pray to close this off. Father God, you are faithful. You are good. You are sovereign. And we are your children, and you love us. God, I thank you for the testimonies we've heard today, and I just pray for those who are still in a place of waiting or need. And God, we just open our hands and say we want to receive whatever you have for us, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each person here today, that they would take away what they needed to hear today, and that they would act on that and walk in faith and in trust of you, Lord, knowing that they are loved and your beloved children. Thank you for your goodness. Amen.